So I want to talk about a couple of them. I feel like since it is Tu B'Av, we should talk about them regardless. So I'm trying to find them on the list. So the first one that I want to talk about is that it says, Ahava Shechinah will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Right? I think kemat every Jewish child is told this at some point in their lives. Ahava Shechinah will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. To the point that I think we start to believe that this is in somewhere in Tanakh, or at the very least it's somewhere in Shas, or at the very least it's somewhere in Rishonim. But the answer is none of that. As far as I know, again, I don't claim to have seen everything, but I don't think there is an actual source in Gemara, or in Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanoim, Amoraim, Rishonim, or early Achronim for this statement. I think the one who made it famous is Rav Kook in his Orot HaKodesh, which is a longer essay that he's talking about the koach of opposites. But so where does this come from, that it's so widely believed? And I want to stress, I don't believe that it's not a true statement. I believe that it is a true statement. But I think it needs to be made a little bit clearer. So if you look at source number 7, it comes from the Gemara Maseches Yuma, Tesamit Beis. So the Gemara is discussing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it says, Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Macharev. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shahayu Ba. Bo. Because of three things that were going on at the time, Avo Dezara V'Gili Arayas V'Shvichas Dam. Avo Mikdash Sheni, but the second Beis HaMikdash, Shahayu Oskim Batorah, Uv Mitzvos, Uv Milas Chasadim. They were doing Torah, Mitzvos, and Chesed. Mipnei Macharev. Why was that destroyed? Mipnei Shahoy Sabo Sinas Chinam. Lilamdecha Sheshkula Sinas Chinam Keneged Shalosh Averos Avodizara Gili Arayus V'Shvichas Dam. So on some level, it has to be understood, and not just on some level like that makes for a nice drasha, on some level that actually makes for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Sinas Chinam is equal to the three cardinal sins of Judaism, Gili Arayus, Shvichas Dam, and Avodizara. So this is something to keep in mind in terms of the chomer of Sinas Chinam. It's not just that Sinas Chinam is like a technicality, and therefore in the Lashon of Chazal, Sinas Chinam is so serious that it actually equals Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. So that is the source that tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. So Rav Kook, in his Orot HaKodesh, he's talking again about the koach of opposites, and I don't really claim to understand most of the things that Rav Kook wrote, so this isn't, you know, no exception to the rule, that he went, I read the piece, it's a little over my head, but nevertheless, this line is the line that people key in on a lot. It says, V'nechravnu v'nechrav ha'olam imanu al yidei sinas chinam, Nashuv lihibanos va'olam imanu yibaneh al yidei avas chinam. That if the Beis HaMikdash and the world around us was destroyed because of sinas chinam, then obviously the koach of that opposite of avas chinam needs to be rebuilt. It needs to be there in order to rebuild the world and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash specifically. Right? So if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, it can only be rebuilt with the koach of avas chinam. Now, I don't think what Rav Kook meant to say was that all we need to do is just get everybody to join hands and sing Kumbaya, and then the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. But on the other hand, I think what he is trying to say is that Sinas Chinam was the number one element that went into the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Avas Chinam is the number one element that has to exist in order for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. Meaning, let's say you get a recipe for a cake and you want to bake the cake because you tasted it at somebody else's house and it's fantastic and you can't wait to make one yourself. So you get all the ingredients and you realize you were missing, one of the things in the cake was that it had a purple icing on the top. So you're missing the purple food coloring for the icing. So you're just going to have to settle for plain white icing. So would you bake the cake or would you not bake the cake? I'd probably bake it anyway. I don't think, you know, obviously if it's a group of very artsy people who are super machbit about what the cake looks like, so then You know, so then maybe you would forego the entire project. But for most people who just want to enjoy eating the cake, so then I think everybody's willing to bake it, and you know, we'll somehow find a way to forgive you for not making the icing purple. But let's say you were missing sugar, or flour, or water. It's a hard ingredient to be missing, but let's say you were missing water, right? So would you then say, all right, I'll just make all the other ingredients, and I won't, you know, I'll bake the cake without, you know, that particular ingredient. So I think we would probably agree that it's not worth it to bake the cake if it's going to taste like a cake without sugar or a cake without flour. There's just no such thing. It's not like you have the opportunity to just bake the cake around and just leave a hole where the sugar was supposed to be and everything else will be delicious. It doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. It's a necessary ingredient. So in other words, if you look in the Lashon of the Gemara says, the second Beis HaMikdash was a time of Torah, mitzvos, gemilus chasadim, but there was sinas chinam, and therefore sinas chinam destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. I think we would need to have a time of Torah, mitzvos, gemilus chasadim, and ahavas chinam. Meaning you can't, it's not enough to just have Torah, mitzvos, and gemilus chasadim. We also have to have ahavas chinam. I think that's really what Rav Kook was driving at, and even if it wasn't exactly what he's driving at, I think it's a simple interpretation of the Gemara, that you can't just say, well, we'll still have Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, but we'll have Sinas Chinam, so we'll all just, you know, throw away Torah Mitzvos in favor of Sinas, of Avas Chinam, and then everything will be perfect. And Hashem will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem's not going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash unless we have Avas Chinam, but we also need Torah Mitzvos and Gemilas Chasadim as well. So that's what we're saying over here, because the whole idea of the destruction is that Sinas Chinam was shakul kineged these three averos. But if we have those three averos still going on, then Avas Chinam is not necessarily going to help us, right? So I think that's something to keep in mind. Okay, so that's but it's also important to keep in mind that this statement that Avas Chinam is going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is not an outright statement of Chazal, but it is clearly indicated by the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. Okay. Now, along those same lines, number 16, what number was that? 7. Number 16, the Beis HaMikdash will descend from heaven, fully built by our mitzvos, right? So, on one end, what are you kidding? Like, that's ridiculous. That's something they tell little kids in kindergarten to make them feel good. That's something Uncle Moshe says. That's not, like, something true. On the other hand, it's not just Uncle Maishi. It was Uncle Rashi and Uncle Tosfos also said it. So it's not something to laugh at. If you take a look in source number 16, there's a discussion. It comes totally as a side point in the Gemara, but we'll just do a quick discussion of what the Gemara is talking about over here. So the Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, says that Barishona Yalulov Mitalba Mikdash Shiva or Medina Yom Echan, Mishakar Besamikdash Hiskin Ram Yochan Menzaka, Shayulov Mitalba Medina Shiva, Zechal Mikdash, Rishay Yom Hanef, Kulo Osir. So, one of the things that we do as a Zechal Mikdash is that we take the Lulav and Esrog all 7 days of Sukkot. That's not actually a mitzvah from the Torah. Although it does say, Lukachtem Lachem, right, Priyat Sadar, but it says specifically, Lukachtem Lachem by Yom HaRishon. Supposed to take the lulav, the dalet minim on the first day, and then at the end of the pasuk it says usmachtem lifnei Hashem lokechem shivas yom. You're supposed to rejoice in front of Hashem for 7 days. So what does in front of Hashem mean? So it means in the Beis HaMikdash itself, not bigvulin, not in everywhere else, even in Eretz Yisrael. It's just not in the, if you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, there's only a mitzvah d'oraisa to take the lulav one day and nothing else. However, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that since if the Klal Yisrael was just going to take the lulav for one day and that's it, nobody would remember that there was actually a mitzvah min haTorah to take the lulav in the mikdash all 7 days. So he made a takana that we're supposed to take it bigvulin all 7 days as well. First day is the Raisa, last 6 days are a special kind of derabanan called Zechel HaMikdash. Can anyone think of another Zechel HaMikdash? That a certain type of mitzvah derabanan that we do like that? It's a trick question, because I know probably what you're going to say, and that's not what I have in mind. But anything we do Zechel and Mikdash, those types of Darabanans? No. I thought for sure you were going to say it. Right? When do we say the word Zechel and Mikdash? Right? Zechel and Mikdash Kehillah. So that's not exactly the same thing. Zechel and Mikdash Kehillah, when we eat Korech, so that's not exactly the same type of takana. A better example of Zechel and Mikdash would be according to the Rov Rishonim that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is only midirabbanan. Zechel and Mikdash in these cases, and in fact, there is another mitzvah that we do in the Seder night, which is much more of a Zechel and Mikdash than the Korech, which is Achilas Maror. Achilas Maror, there's no mitzvah, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to eat Maror, but only in conjunction with the Korban Pesach. Midirabbanan, they said you should eat a Kazayas of Maror as just so that you should remember that there is a mitzvah to eat Maror on the Seder night in conjunction with the Korban Pesach. We're not going to tell you to eat Korban Pesach or a fake Korban Pesach because that is a big can of worms of possibly eating Kachim Bachutz, which is a major Avera, right? It's not a major Avera that we have a big Yetzer Hara to do, but if you actually did it, you would be Chayiv Karis. So therefore we don't... But those are a couple of examples. Achilas Maror Bizman Hazeh is only a Derabbanan, but it's basically the rabbi saying, do the mitzvah Doraisa just Betoras Derabbanan. Right? Similarly, Sfiras HaOmer, according to Rov Rishonim, the Rambam says it's still Doraisa Bizman Hazeh, but we generally paskin that it's only Midirabbanan. Sfiras HaOmer is Zeicha LeMikdash, meaning do the mitzvah Doraisa just in a Derabbanan way. Right? And similarly, we have Lulav all 7 days. Right, so those are examples of Zecher LeMikdash. Okay, that was just so you don't forget that there is such a mitzvah in the Torah. But then the second thing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said was Yom Haneif Kulo Aser, meaning the day of the Hakravas HaOmer, the Korban Omer, it's going to be completely Aser to eat Chadash. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say Chadash? Right? Right, meaning... Right, if you look in the in the pizza shops all over the place, they say like our flour is kemach yashan, right? So people are very into things being old, right? They want old stuff, exactly. So what does that mean? It means that from the time of the harvest, you have to wait until the Korban Omer is brought, and then the food goes from being chadash to yashan, right? So that's the halach of yashan. That's why. And nowadays, there's no Korban Omer, so technically, the day itself would be matir the old crop, and it would be considered Yashan after the day started. What? No, that's not. It's only in Chutz La'aretz. There's a question why the Jewish people, and it's an old custom of the Jewish people not to be makbid on Yashan in Chutz La'aretz. In Europe, supposedly nobody was makbid. There are some bakeries and some, like, I think in Borough Park, there are some bakeries that are dafka not yashan. It's impossible to not be yashan some times of the year, because unless you're going to go out and harvest the grain yourself, within a couple of months after Pesach, it's impossible to not be makban on yashan. But there are some places that are bedafka not makbid on yashan because they shalol lahotzi laz al doros harishonim, that they don't want to be say that the people in Europe were doing the wrong thing and therefore they're not makbid on yashan. But nowadays, at least the Mishnah Brura recommends that kol zman that it's efsher, you should try to be makbid on yashan. It's very difficult in the United States to be fully makbid. But it's not impossible. There are people who are very, especially students of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was a very, very, very into Chodesh being an Isser Doraisa in Chutz La'aretz, which is really the simple reading of the sources. And Chodesh is an Isser Doraisa in Chutz La'aretz. What? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so he's very makbid on, he was very makbid on, so some of his children and Talmidim, They put out lists of when everything is yashan, and they try to be as makbid as possible to try to keep it. But in the end of the day, it's not in days of mass production, and it's not so easy to keep track of everything. And pretty much most of the major hashgachos and chutzarts are so that's what some of the people when you When you complain about the hashgachas in Eretz Yisrael, about like nobody knows what anything means, and they have so many kulas by the meat and whatever, so they say like, at least we don't eat isurim doraisa of chadash, and like even the worst rabbanut hashgacha, it's not chadash, you know. Say like it's not, you know. So like you're worried about this chumrah about freezing the meat, or this question about glot, you know. You're eating an isur doraisa. So okay, well, so we got used to that years and years and years ago. So. The Rama already writes wine. You know, he has his spek sveika. The Bach has a different shot, but okay, it's a you don't leave any shir about why you don't eat chadash and you're not makban on yashin and chutz la'aretz. You never leave any shir on that topic, feeling very warm and fuzzy inside. You usually leave thinking, oh yeah, I'm totally going to be makbid, and then you know, just you know, you see some crackers and you just want to eat them. So okay. So what are we talking about here? So we're saying Yom Hanef Kulo Asur. So the whole day should be Asur. That was a takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that the entire day should be Asur. So I skipped to the Gemara there on the sources. Yom Hanef, my timer, what is the reason? Meheir Yibana Beis HaMikdash V'yom Roeshtakeid Milo Achalnu Beheir Mizrach Hashtanami Nechel. So I mentioned in passing that now that there's no Korban Omer, so the day itself is Matir. So they said, what's going to happen is the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and they're going to say, last year when we had you know the second day with the day of Pesach when they would have brought the Korban Omer, so we ate our chadash when we woke up in the morning. We had breakfast cereal. We ground up the wheat, and we had and it was considered yashan. So now too, we're gonna wake up early and we're gonna eat breakfast cereal from what we think is yashan, but it's not gonna be yashan because they haven't brought the carbon yet, right? It's not the same as last year, because last year you didn't have the carbon, so the day was matir. But this year, you're gonna have to wait for them to bring the carbon. So that's the Gemara's cheshbon. That's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made the whole day aser. So the inu lo yadi dishtake lo have a beis hamikdash. Heir Mizrachitir, Hashadika Beis HaMikdash, Omer Matir. That's what I just spoke out, that you need the Omer to be Matir, the Chadash. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, when was this Beis HaMikdash built exactly? It says, the Ivne Amos, when was the Beis HaMikdash built? Ilema de Ivne Beshitzar, it was built on the day of the 16th. Hare Hitir, Heir HaMizrach. If they built it before they had the opportunity to bring the Korban, so the day is Matir. Meaning, if it was built on the day, so then the day is matir because they couldn't have brought the carbon. Ela de ibne b'chamesar. It was built on the 15th. Mechatzosa yom alahalan tishtari. So at the very least, they built the Beis HaMikdash first day of Pesach. Built the Beis HaMikdash first day of Pesach. So okay. So then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai doesn't have to make a takana. The whole day is usher. Just say until chatzos it's usher. Why? It never ever happened that they delayed the carbon past chatzos, right? The bezin would not be so lazy as to delay the carbon past chatzos. So just make a takana, right? So what are they talking about in this mission over here? They're saying the people who were near the Beis HaMikdash, they knew when they brought the carbon over, and they said, all right, everybody can eat their chadash, it's now yasha. But the people far away from the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't know. So they had a deadline. They said, for sure, by Chatzos, everyone brought the carbon, no problem. Okay? You with me so far? So then we say that they should at least make the takana past Chatzos, meaning if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built the day before, so give them till Chatzos. They never went past Chatzos. Lo tzricha, the Ivni Belilia. It was built in between. It was built at night. It says, Inami samach l'shkiyas achama, or it was built by the end of the day. So it's built by the end of the day. Maybe they could chop to try to get the carbon, right? Take a look in Rashi over there. It's the next source. Inami the ivni bechamesar samach l'shkiyas achama v'hihi. It's the same case as before. The ikasha the belayla ein anivne. So now this is what we actually wanted to talk about. Rashi says you can't build the Beis HaMikdash at night. The kaimalan b'shvuas the ein binyan Beis HaMikdash v'layla. You're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash at night. Dichsev uviyom hekim v'lo bechamesar shu yom tov the kaimalan b'shvuas. So Rashi says, I don't understand this whole thing. You can't build it on Yantiv during the day. You can't build it at night because Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Balayla. So he says, Hani Mili Binyan Abanui Bidei Adam. That's only a Beis HaMikdash that people built. Avo Mikdash HaAsid. She'anu mitzapin, the future based on Mikdash that we're waiting for, banoi umesuch lalhu yigla viyavo mishamayim. Who you got it probably. Viyavo mishamayim. So he says, this is already ready to go, and it's going to come down from heaven. She'nemar mikdash Hashem konanu yadecha. Right? It said, the mikdash of Hashem, which your hands have prepared. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to prepare the Beis HaMikdash on his own. In Shemayim, and that's just, the Beis HaMikdash is going to descend from Shemayim. Right? That's Shitas Rashi, and you'll see, it's also Tosfos. See, in the next source, El Al Korchach Tzorech L'chalek K'moshe Pirish Bakuntris. You have to say what Rashi said. Dahani Mili Binyan Aboni Bidei Adam. Avo mikdash ha'asid, banu mishuchlo yigala v'yavo min ha'shamayim, shenemar, mikdash Hashem konan yedach. So Tosfos concurs with Rashi, right? Rashi and Tosfos both suggest that the pshat in the Gemara is, it only makes sense if you say that the Beis HaMikdash is coming from Shemayim. It doesn't make any sense if you say human beings are going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, they both suggest that the Beis HaMikdash Ha'asid is going to come from the sky. And in fact, that's pretty much what we said in the Tefillah of Nachem on Tisha B'Av, that, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with fire, and with fire you're going to rebuild it, and it's going to come, you know. So it's mashma very much that Tefillah is going with Shitas Rashi. It's going with the opinion that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down min ha-shamayim, and we're not going to actually have a hand in rebuilding it. So when you tell a little kid, every time you do a mitzvah, puts another brick on the Beis HaMikdash, you were not lying to that child. That's actually Rashi and Tosfos' way of explaining a very difficult Gemara. So it's a very true statement. If you notice, the Pirish of the Orach Laner, right? The Orach Laner was one of the great German rabbis, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. He wrote, I don't know, anybody, Yak? Yeah, so he's one of the Yekesha heroes. What? Yeah, so Rav Yaakov Ettlinger was he wrote the Sefer Orach Laner on a few Masechtos, but on the Masechtos that he wrote it, it's a very important pirish on those Masechtos. It's very helpful in learning, especially Masechta Sukkah, but other Masechtos as well. He also has Shalos HaTshuvos Binyan Tzion, which is a very beautiful Shalos HaTshuvos Sefer. He's the one who's responsible for the Mishnah Berurah's slight misquote of him, where it says, I don't think it made my list, but that you have to send Shalach Manos Ayidei Shaliach, right? So he says, Mishnah Berurah says, it's Rabbi Yaakov Etli, he says the Binyan Tzion was Nestapek, whether or not you have to send, since it's called Mishloach Manos, you have to send it Ayidei Shaliach in order to be Yotze. But he forgets to quote the rest of the Tshuva, where he says, but you don't. Right, he says that I have a suffix, maybe you have to send out a shliach, and the answer is no. Right, sometimes there's a question. Just because there's a question doesn't mean there's no answer. So Mishnah Berurah leaves it as a question. He has a very strange sheet that the Pashto says the answer was the right answer. You don't have to send it out a shliach. Anyway, that's the Binyan Tzion, that's the Orach Laner. So he's learning this Rashi Tosfos. He quotes and he actually writes on the top line, V'haritva hiskimu lezeh. So he says the Ritva also agrees. So it wasn't just this thing going on with the Chachmei Ashkenaz that all the Ashkenazim thought the Beis HaMikdash is going to come in a Shemayim, but the Chachmei Sforad, like the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ra'ah and the Ritva, they all, oh, what are you kidding? The crazy Ashkenazim think this stuff. So the Ritva also agreed. So he says La'aniyas Daiti Docha Kulafarish HaGemara came. Says he thinks that this is a very difficult explanation in the Gemara. He explains why, but let's skip to the parts that I underline. V'lochein ha'yanir el'aniyas Daiti. In my humble opinion, Devadai Beis HaMikdash La'asid Lavo Yibane Binyan Mamish Bidei Adam. In my opinion, certainly the Beis HaMikdash will be built by human hands. U'mashenemar Mikdash Hashem Konanu Yadecha. By the way, do you say Koninu or Konanu? Two different texts and different depending on which Tanakh you're using or which Chumash you're using. Some of them say it with a shva, and some of them say it with a chatav patach. Right? I think right. So different ones. It's interesting. I don't know what the more correct one is, but I've seen it both ways. What? Very German shot. Okay. So there you go. So he says, Shenidrish betanchuma sheyerid lamato hu beis hamikdash ruchani. That's the spiritual Beis Hamikdash. Yavo l'toch Beis Hamikdash hanivne gashmi. It's going to come into the physical Beis Hamikdash. It's going to be the spiritual Beis Hamikdash. Kineshama b'toch haguf. Right? The same way our bodies are physical in this world, and they're very normal, but without a neshama, what are we? So to the Beis Hamikdash, ukimoshe yared b'mishkan, Beis Hamikdash, ha'eish shel mala toch ha'eish shel hedyot, shenivar be'etzim. Right? We lit the fire on the Mizbeach, but then a real fire came down from Shemayim and consumed the Karbanos. Meaning we do our part, a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes in and takes care of business. So, that there is a Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala, but it's not the Beis HaMikdash that we're going to build. It's our job to build a Beis HaMikdash on this world. But Hashem is going to fill it with spirituality from the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala, not that the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata will be built min HaShemayim. Again, this is part of a much grander machlokes between different Rishonim as to what the period of time of the Beis HaMikdash is going to look like. If you're familiar with the Shita of the Rambam at the very end, he writes it in a few places, but in the very end of the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam discusses the Melech HaMashiach, which is very appropriate to talk about on Tu B'Av, because his main source is really the Yerushalmi that talks about Bar Kochva. Right? Here's my question for you. How could Bar Kochva possibly have been the Mashiach? Right? How could Bar Kochva possibly have been the Mashiach? Did he perform all kinds of miracles? Did he, I'm just going to throw out a couple of random miracles. Did he turn water into wine? Did he walk on water? Did he cure lepers? Right? I don't think anybody claimed that he did any of those things. And yet, the great Rabbi Akiva was under the impression that he was or could be the Melech HaMashiach. Right? So what's the pshat? So the Rambam says, because the Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to do any miracles. Right? The Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to perform nisim. What does he have to do? He has to inspire the people to serve Hashem better, inspire the people to want to overthrow their enemies, and to actually succeed in doing so. He has to wage war against the enemies of Klal Yisrael and retake Eretz Yisrael. And once he retakes Eretz Yisrael, his next task will be to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And kol zman that he has not yet rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says he is what we call Bechezkas Melech HaMashiach, which means essentially you have the right to assume that he might be the Melech HaMashiach. So if you come out and say, I support this individual as the Melech HaMashiach, you're in the right for saying so. And if he actually succeeds in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, then you know bevadai that he's the Melech HaMashiach. That's the Rambam's view of how you can tell who's the Mashiach and who's not. He's not going to bring down a Beis HaMikdash min HaShemayim. He's going to rebuild it with human hands, right? And in that way, once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and it's functioning properly, that's how you know that this individual is the Melech HaMashiach. Right, and that's the Rambam's view, and it's accepted by a number of the Rishonim. And it's really not the Rambam's chiddush. This was a machlokes going back all the way to the Amoraim, probably even to the Tanaim, right? It was known as the Shita of Shmuel. Ein bein olam azeli mosa Mashiach ala shibud malchios bilvat. Right, that the only difference between the times of Mashiach and nowadays is going to be, right, every Miss America pageant winner will have her wish. There will be world peace. Right, so there will be world peace. That the Elishib and Malchus Bovad, the nations of the world are going to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king, and there's no need to fight with each other anymore because Hashem runs the world, and they will let the Jews, they'll help the Jews, you know, serve Hashem better, and that's going to be the golden age of humanity, where people actually are nice to each other, and the Rambam says all this, the doors to Avim Keves and things like that. That's only allegoric for the enemies of the Jews, and the people who prey on the weak are not going to prey on the weak anymore. They're going to help, and they're going to help the Jews learn Torah better. And that's a very famous song from not so famous anymore, but probably about 15, 20 years ago. Not more than 20 years ago, it was famous. So the Miami Boys Choir had a song that the Rambam put into his Mishneh Torah afterwards, and they like Lo Nisavu Achachamim Anaviim Yimos HaMashiach. right? So the Chachamim and the Nevi'im did not desire the days of Mashiach, that they could rule over their enemies, that line I don't think made the song. They don't want to take revenge against their enemies, they don't want to take revenge at people, they don't want to rule the world, they don't want to take revenge against their enemies, and then skipping a bunch of, a couple of sentences in the Rambam, Ela Kadesh Yupnuyim Bator V'Chachmasa Kadesh Yizku L'Chayo L'Mabba. Right, so that they want to be able to have more freedom to be, they want to be able to free their minds and their schedules in order to study more Torah and its wisdom and be zoche to Olam Haba. Meaning that it's about being able to live a fully Jewish life in this world, free of the distractions of Shibud Malchios, free of the distractions of people trying to constantly kill us and worrying about politics all the time, and worrying about all the things that we worry about on a constant basis. So that's the Rambam's view. I very much not like the view of Rashi and the Tosfos and the Ramban, who say that no, already the Yemos HaMashiach is the beginnings of Olam Haba. It's the beginnings of moving on to the next stage of spiritual life. I mean, the Rambam agrees that it's the next stage of spiritual life, but it's a very much a human stage of spiritual life, not a miraculous stage of spiritual life in that sense. Okay, either way, as the Rambam himself says it, much has been written about this, but in the end of the day, no one will know what it's going to be until it actually happens. Okay, maybe we'll do... that's what I pretty much want to talk about that's mandatory for today, because I felt it was appropriate. Maybe we'll do a couple of others. Any question? Any particular choices?
Number 25,
not finishing the food on your plate is Baal Tashchis, right? So first of all, where does Baal Tashchis come from in the Torah? Where does Baal Tashchis come from in the Torah? Ah, very good, right? Right, so I said, I always make the same dumb joke with my guys. I said, if it's actually a Mishnah in Meseches Kiddushin that women are not chayev in Baal Tashchis. They're allowed to waste all the food they want. No, it's not true. It says that women are chayev in, they're chayev in mitzvah saseh that's not zman grama, they're potter from mitzvah saseh that's man grama, except for all the exceptions, which are actually more than the rule, and they are chayev in all lo saseh in the Torah, chutz mi from bal takif and bal tashchis. Right? Bal tashchis means do not shave with a razor. Right? That women are all, you know, the bearded lady in the circus is allowed to shave her beard with a razor if she so chooses to go into another profession. So, and Baal Takif is the Isser to cut off your payas. So that's what it's actually referring to. The actual Isser of Baal Tashchis refers to, in the Torah, cutting down fruit trees, what? Correct. Right? Kiseitze, I think. That's the real issur of cutting down fruit trees, and the Gemara extrapolates from that. It's not dafka fruit trees that, although there's like, Kabbalistically speaking, like pretty much cutting down a fruit tree is only slightly worse than worshiping Avodah Zarah. So, you know, I don't know what the inyan is, but Alpi Kabbalah, there's like a big deal not to cut down fruit trees. But cutting down fruit trees is not the primary case of Baal Tashchis in everybody's lives. The Gemara says it refers to any kind of wasting, not just food, wasting useful things, right? Ripping clothing for no reason, breaking kalim for no reason. It's all considered Baal Tashchis. However, we came to only really care about it when it comes to food, partially I think because we live in a disposable generation that everything is meant to last, meaning even the nicest things we own besides our actual home, and I think nowadays we're getting to the point that even homes need to undergo some sort of construction every few years, right? So, but everything besides our home is disposable, right? Everything's disposable. So our cars, you know, if you have a car for more than 3 years, you're asking for trouble. So, if you have a car for too long, used to be a car was like something that you would want to, you know, just buy it and drive it into the ground 250,000 miles later, you know, you have to get a new car and send, the family car on its way. But nowadays we lease because we realize cars are not built to last. They're disposable, right? Obviously cups, plates, napkins, back in the day, now it's obviously much better for Hilchos Kashrus to have disposable kalim, but back in the day, Camp Morasha used to have real cups, plates, silverware, etc. Right? Not saying that it was a preferred situation, but it was certainly a heck of a lot cheaper. And it was, you know, so they passed the savings on to the campers and just raised their tuition. But the bottom line is that we live in a disposable world, so we're not conscious of, it has a stain. I could put it in the washing machine or just throw it away. So I'll just throw it away. So we just throw things away very, very quickly because that's the way we live. And we can make things for very cheap and we can get rid of them very cheap. But in reality, that's not the way the Torah wants us to behave. You know, the famous Medrash that Yaakov Avinu went back for the Pachim Kitanim. Right, he went back for the small things. Yaakov at that point was a very rich man, as his Tfilat HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his discussion with Esav connotes. He was a very wealthy man, and he still went back for the Pachim Kitanim. He said, Hashem wants, he gave them to me for a reason, and I'm supposed to take care of them. Right, so we're not supposed to be hoarders, but we're supposed to take care of things that we're given. So the Baal Tashchis really applies to all of these things. So a lot of times we apply it to food, and we say, finish everything on your plate, or it's Baal Tashchis to throw it in the garbage. So I just wanted to point out that that's not exactly it, right? There's an Isser, in fact, called Achila Gasa, right? The Gemara in Bava Kamma and discusses it a little bit, and it becomes very relevant in Tosfos, in Psachim, right? The Gemara in Bava Kamma just has the famous line, Achila Gasa lav klum hu. When you eat an Achila Gasa, it counts for nothing. So Tosfos raises that issue. How can it be an Achila? Tosfos, I don't want to get into the background because I got to finish up. But Tosfos basically says that there are two types of Achila Gasa. There's Achila Gasa number one, where you're already full and you are just eating it because you enjoy it, you know, which is like the second half of every meal in the United States. And there's Achila Gasa number two, which is you're full and you're not even enjoying it. You're just eating it because it's in front of you. Right, that's the Mount Everest theory of why we eat, right? Which is because it's there. Like they asked the first guy ever climbed Mount Everest, why are you climbing Mount Everest? Because it's there. So that's why we eat sometimes, because it's there. That's why I do it. I don't know why anybody else does it. But so that type of achila gasa where you're literally forcing it down your throat because it's there, that not only says Tosfos is usher to do. Both achila gasas are usher to do. But the achila gasa, because it's there, where you're just forcing it down your throat, that's what the Gemara meant when it said, lav shma achila. It's not even considered an achila. And if you were yotze achilas matzah with achila gasa, or yotze achilas ha-pesach with achila gasa of that sort, you actually did not fulfill the mitzvah.
Is that what it is to have an empty stomach?
Correct. That's exactly what the Gemara was discussing over there. And that's why you're supposed to have a smaller meal on the Seder night than probably we actually eat, because we have all these big shiurim for matzah and maror and korech, and then we eat a huge meal, and then we're supposed to eat afikomen. It's not such a great idea to do that, but we do it. Okay. So lemaisa, in the end of the day, there is an isser of achila gasa, there is an isser of baal tashchis. So the real solution is, don't make so much food in the first place, you won't have to throw it in the garbage. But just important to keep in mind, once you're already full, there's no difference between taking the remainder of your plate and throwing it in that garbage and throwing it in this garbage. That's the same garbage. Saying it's and you're not violating the Yisra of Achila Gasa at the time. So obviously we don't want to have a mentality where we're wasteful about anything. It's all the Yisra of Baal Tashchis. But to yell at children that they're not finishing their plates when they're not hungry, you know, it's not actually true to tell them that if you don't finish your plate, it's an Isser Baal Tashchis, and you're the reason that there's world hunger, right? So that's not a true statement that if the kid is actually full. Now, some kids are just, you know, not eating to be defiant, but like if the kid is actually full or the adult is actually full and they think it's an Isser Baal Tashchis not to just finish it up, because if it sees the inside of a garbage pail, that's different than if it sees the inside of my mouth when I'm not hungry. So it's the exact same thing. On purpose?
Yeah, because they won't
grow
up.
Right, so
but they know they're not needed.
So if they're so makpid, they should be. It's not an exact science. When you go shopping, try your best to buy the things you actually plan on consuming, not things that you thought you might have a havamin of one day consuming. Yeah, and then take it from there.
Is there a difference between throwing out spoiled food?
when it's spoiled, it's not anything. But if you're going to buy it, the problem is when you bought it or when you took it. It's not when you actually come to throwing it out, right? And it's not the same thing as having a food fight. Having a food fight is just being wasteful as shmuck. You know, it's just it's not the that's a separate issue of bizoy ochlim also. But nice. In the end of the day, it's not bal tashkas to force. You're not avoiding an isser when you force food down your throat because you don't see the inside of it. All right.
Have a great day. Okay, so you'll let me...